Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Good evening, everybody. Amen. My name is Adedayo Babalola, and tonight we are going on a series that we have titled The Bible, the Gospel in Genesis. And this will be a teaching where which we have also subtitled it, Serving God Rightly. Right, I'm going to give you a few minutes to just pray. And then we get into the teaching together tonight. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. In a few minutes, we are going to be getting it done. We're going to be getting into the teaching. All right, we are going to pray right now. Let's pray right now. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified and your name is glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, tonight we are going on this teaching, the Gospel in Genesis, and we are looking at serving God rightly. And we have said, just like we have said in all of our other teachings, we have said that this book is a book about the Savior, that is Jesus, the saved, and how he saves. And in, you know, and our teaching starts, kicks off in the book of Luke 24. By now, we must have gotten used to this particular verse that we have been using for this teaching, Luke 24, verse 25. It says on there, "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken." So the first thing is that we see, this is Jesus speaking. We already know this. He says that they are fools, meaning they are slow of heart to believe. So the problem with the guys who are his disciples that Jesus is talking about was that they were slow of heart to believe what the prophets have said. We've also said, because the book we are looking at is a book written by a prophet. The prophet we are talking about here is the prophet Moses. Moses was a prophet that wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Now, Moses wrote as a prophet speaking about things to come, right? We've said all of this in our introduction. And then we said the aim of his hearers was that they were to believe what he wrote down. That's what we see in the book of Luke 24, verse 25. He now says, what did he write about? What is in the writings of the prophets? Verse 26 tells us, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? Ought not Christ? So the summary of the whole Bible is that Christ will suffer and he will enter his glory, meaning the death and the resurrection and the implication of his resurrection. He now says in verse 27, I'm beginning at Moses. You know, this is a series. We are looking at Gospel in Genesis and we are looking at Moses. He says, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Moses and all the prophets, he expounded, he explained, he opened their minds up in all scriptures, the things concerning himself. We have also said that the scripture is about Jesus. The scripture is about the love of God. The scripture is about salvation. The prophets of the Old Testament, they all spoke about Jesus, about salvation, right? Amen. And Moses, the first prophet, spoke in this light. So when we get into the book of Genesis, we must understand that it is talking about Jesus. So let us go into the book of Genesis because, you know, we have a couple of things to catch up on because this is a series. We are going to start off in Genesis chapter 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, we are going to look at exactly after Adam and Eve had rejected God and what God said. We are looking at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Right? At this point, I'm going to talk about a very phenomenal prophetic word that God gives. Right? After Adam and Eve had sinned and rejected God, and then God comes to them and says, what happens? Then Adam says, Eve was the one that led me. And God went to Eve, and Eve said it was the serpent, the devil, that that actually deceived me, right? And so God makes a phenomenal statement, a prophecy about Jesus, a prophecy about salvation, a prophecy about what Christ will come and do. Look at verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's really talking about, and between thy seed and her seed. He says, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is a word from Jesus. He says that there will be enmity. So good and bad, there will be enmity between them. He now says, with the seed of the woman. Who is the seed of the woman? Because the seed of the woman will do something. The seed of the serpent, of the devil, will do something. Woe is the seed of the woman, even the seed. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. The book of Galatians chapter 3. I'm sure you know by now that the seed of the woman there will be Christ. Galatians 3, look at verse 16. So this is where God is prophesying the coming of Christ. Look at Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham. Are you in Galatians 3, 16? Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Is that clear? So we are very clear that in the beginning, God is already talking about the coming of Christ. So he says, let's go back to Genesis 3. We are still in verse, we are there, we are in verse 15. So we have established that the seed of man, or of this man, or of the woman here, will be Christ. Now the seed of the devil will be the devil, the false prophet, and his works. So he says what's going to happen is that the seed of the woman will do what? Will bruise his head. What does it mean to bruise the head? It means that he will defeat him. Right? So he's now saying, by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the devil, the operations of the devil will be defeated. Is that very clear? But he now says something about the devil. He now tells us, now, this is not God saying, I will do this. This is God prophesying about that which will happen. Look at the next one there. He now says, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Obviously, that's clear. Thou shalt bruise his heel. He's talking about the activity of the devil in the days to frustrate the operations of the seed of the woman, to frustrate the operations of the seed of the woman, which is Christ and his works. Christ and these people. Christ and the church. So from here he says there will be a bruising of the heel. What does bruising of the heel mean? Bruising of the heel is a, you know, if the people of the days of Moses, if they read this, they understood it. But I'm going to show you what it means clearly so you don't make a mistake what it's telling you that the devil and his operations will do. Look at the book of Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Genesis 49, 17. Genesis 49, 17. Are you there now? Genesis 49, 17. It says, Dan. So he compares Dan to a serpent. Remember, he's talking to the serpent, the evil one, the devil. That's what he was talking. That's who we're talking about in Genesis. He now compares Dan. Dan is a child of, but just continue. Dan is a child of Jacob, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Now look, it says, Dan. Thou shalt be a serpent by the way, an adder, that's a type of snake, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heel. Are you seeing there? It bites the horse heel so that his rider shall fall backwards. So when it says he will bruise the heel, the essence of it is that he will affect, he will do things that will make the horse rider stagger. What is he trying to say? The activities of the devil will make life difficult for the saints, for Christ and his church. Will ensure he does all he can to put out the light of Christ. Ensure he does all he can to put out the light of the church. But the head will be bruised by the church. God is already prophesying from the early days that we will win. Praise God. That's what he's saying there. He's saying very clearly, you will do things that will stagger the work to make them fall backwards. But listen, he says the what? He says he will bruise the head. You shall bruise the heel. That's what he means there. I just wanted to show you that from the beginning, God has already stated, even in the book of Genesis, right, about the coming of our Christ. Very consistent there. I want to move on very, very quickly, right, because this is not our focus. And I want to show you something that God says to Adam, right? What does God say to Adam? Look at verse 17. And he said to Adam, because thou was hearkening unto the voice of thy wife, meaning unto the voice of deception, unto the voice that told you. So Eve was a voice. Eve was a message. Eve was a preacher. Do you get it? What did she preach? She preached to Adam that Adam should reject God. Then what did Adam do? Adam hearkened to that voice, to that message, right? It says, because you hearkened to the message, you have eaten of the tree which I commanded thee that thou should not eat. He said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Please, I want you to remember all we have been going through in this series. When he says, cursed be the ground for their sake, he is not talking here about the physical ground. Amen. He is talking about the heart of man. And he's actually telling that man, it's not that God is saying, I curse your heart. Is that God is saying, because you have taken this point, or rather you have decided to reject the life I was presenting to you, what you have introduced is that you have introduced your heart to hardness. You have introduced your heart to evil. Let me show you there. It says, cursed be the ground, right? In sorrow thou shalt eat out of it all thy days. Look at verse 18. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth for thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. It's not talking about the ground. Remember, Moses is a prophet. Moses is talking symbolically. Okay, how do we know? Let's go into the book of Mark chapter 4. I want to show you, right? Jesus explained the other parables. All the other hidden statements in the Bible, they find their origin in the parable, understanding the parable of the sower. So if you don't understand the parable of the sower, you will struggle with most of the things that are being said that look like parables. So when, for example, they say ground, you will say, oh, ground must mean a ground somewhere. You will be looking at the physical ground. When they say seed, you'll be looking at money, not knowing that the seed is the word. You know, so when you hear, you know, am I going too fast? Seed time and harvest time shall not cease. You'll be thinking about money. He's talking about the word. Okay, let's continue. Let's continue. Mark 4. It says in 14, the sower sows the word. So when it says a sower, in this parable it was a sower. Read it from Mark 4 verse 1, you know, and when you look at verse 3, it says the sower went to sow, right? Then verse 14 tells us that when it says the sower went to sow, he's not taking you into agriculture or into a farm. It says the sower, who is the sower? The sower went to sow seed. It's the word of God. Right? Amen. It now tells about the different kinds of ground. Let's go into it says there's a particular ground. Look at verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns. Remember where we are coming from? God said to Adam, from your ground thorns shall come. Meaning there were things that were not emerging in this your heart that will become the preoccupation of your heart. Now, what are these thorns that will emerge in the heart of Adam? Adam was a man who did not have thorns and thistles before. in his heart. Okay, what are thorns and tissues? He tells us that in verse 19, thorns and tissues, they are the cares of this world, anxieties, right? So before Adam rejected God, he was not a man that was given to worry. Worry, anxieties, they are the lane of the fallen world. Because it happened after man rejected God. God now said, after now that you have rejected me, the reality is that from your ground, from your heart, what will happen? It will emerge thorns and tissues. You will always be anxious. You will always be having cares. Look at what it says there. I didn't say it. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns. They are they which hear the word of God, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So God was telling Adam, you've done something to your heart. Your heart will now be getting bothered, getting worried, getting overwhelmed about everything, always getting... Have you ever met someone like that? Or are you like that? Right? When did it start? It started from Adam. Men just get carried away by the cares, the things of this world. Men get carried away by the deceitfulness of riches. They just want to have money, mammon. They are just pursuing it. It came from the pastor Dio say you should not have money. No. Did I just say God doesn't want that? God does not know that things of this world will come. Yeah, but he says the way you carry it on your heart and you are bothered and you are anxious is a proof. It is from not knowing that you have a father. That's why in the scriptures, I hope I'm not too fast. 1 Peter 5 verse 7, God will tell you what to do with your cares. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. People bother too much. They worry too much. They have their heart filled with weeds, thorns and tissues. When you open up the heart, he's worried about tomorrow, worried about his future. Will I marry? Will this happen for me? Will that happen for me? What is going to happen next week? Will I get this? Will I get that? That's the Bible says that's what happens. But when a man chooses, listen carefully, when a man chooses the way of Christ, embracing Christ as his lover, do you know what happens to those weeds? The man enters what is called rest, Sabbath. You enter the rest of God. What is the opposite of the rest of God? Cares of this world. How will I do this? What's going to happen tomorrow? Will I die of AIDS? Will I die of cancer? What is going to do? Cares of this world. Deceitfulness of riches. When will I get money? When will I get this? When will I get that? And it all looks logical. Because remember, they are what? They are thorns. They come up from the earth. The way a tree, a plant is going to come up as well. So they look logical. They look like they make sense. They look like that's what you should preoccupy yourself with. But what is the reality? You have not embraced the rest of God. You did not embrace, you know, the rest of God is what God presented. God presented a life to Adam. A life without thorns, a life of rest. But Adam chose another life, a life outside of God, and his heart started to produce thorns. So the life outside of God gets you worrying, perplexed, confused all the time. Amen. Praise God. But we have this helper. Amen. Praise God. So you see, let's go back to Genesis. I've not even gone into what I want to get into. So you see, when it says about Genesis 3:18, thorns and tissues shall he bring forth for thee. He's telling you what will happen. What are thorns and tissues? Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, cares for other things. That's what's going to be coming up in the heart of that man. And that's what started up in the life of Adam. Amen. Look at verse 21. I'm quickly going because I'm really going to chapter 5. Amen. And I've not got in there. Look at verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and he clothed them. This is also symbolic. Clothes of skin, meaning, remember, the first thing was that after they rejected God, they realized that they were naked. So God, in this verse, Moses is telling us that Adam, look at it, unto Adam and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. So God ended up clothing Adam and Eve, meaning Adam and Eve ended up believing the gospel. Clothing there will be him covering them. covering them with what? Covering them with his robe of righteousness. So the point is, Adam and Eve ended up believing, but they brought sin into the world. Get it? They ended up believing. That's what verse 21 tells us. Because coats of skin is talking, is a type and shadow of animal sacrifice, which is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, who actually is our sacrificial lamb that comes to die, pay the price for our sins. So when he says he closed them, right, as a type and shadow with Jesus, his blood, that which is to come. I hope that makes sense. Amen. All right, we're now going to be moving to chapter 5. Now I want you to follow me ever, so follow me very closely. Chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. If you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 and 27, you will realize that he said, let us make man in our own image and likeness. When he gets to chapter 5 here, he tells you something. That this Adam is made in the likeness. He skips out intentionally image. I want you to notice it. Look at it for yourself. In Genesis 5 verse 1, the word image is not there. We have already covered this before because we said, you know what? Adam, as it were, the idea was God wanted Adam to become to be the his image, meaning receiving his life. But what happened? Adam rejected that life, right, and brought death into the world. We told you in our former series, like we said to you from all different scriptures, Hebrews 1 verse 3 and 4, you can check it out at your time. Jesus is the image of God. Colossians 1 as well, 15 to 17, Jesus is the image of God. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4, Jesus is the image of God. So what we are seeing here is we are being told about Adam, right? And you will see that it is skipped here. It just says likeness. It doesn't talk about image. Let's continue. He now tells us something in verse 2. He says, male and female, he created them, right? And blessed them. This is just like a summary. And called their name Adam. So male and female, and called their name Adam in the day that he created them. I'm going somewhere, right? You know, okay. Blessed them, spoke to them, preached to them. Amen. He created them and spoke to them. So Genesis 5 is giving you a summary of what happened. Amen. Look at verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own image, in his own likeness, and after his image. Do you notice what Moses is doing here? Moses is trying to tell you, when it comes to God, in verse 1, he says likeness. So to let you know, he didn't miss it out. When it comes to verse 3, he tells us that Adam gave birth to a son that is like him and carries his image. So the point is, the nature of Adam is what the nature of Seth will be. Or let's look at it again. Yeah, the nature of Seth. Seth, which is the word substitute. You know, because at this time, Abel had been killed. So, Adam gives birth to a child after his image, after his likeness. So, every characteristic of Adam, Seth had. The nature of Adam, Seth had. Right? Amen. That's what he's trying to say. Image and likeness. Now, this is, so, look at verse 5. We're going somewhere. And people always ask the question, but it's not really. People always ask the question, how did people marry? How did the first, so, Adam and Eve started. They gave birth to Cain and Abel. Abel is murdered. Cain, right? Cain will have children. Cain will have what? Children from women. Where did the women come from? The other children that Adam will give birth to. And then Seth will come and give back to. That's how it happened. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how it happened. All right. And look at verse 5. And all the days of Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. So, Mahalalel is born. That's verse 12. Praise the Lord. Right. And then from in verse 15, we see Jared is born. Jared means descent. You know, it's like you're going down. So, because In this time, people gave their children names based on their experiences or a prophetic word of what will happen in the future. Right? Okay. Amen. Okay, and then, but what you will notice very importantly here is that as you see everybody is written about, Enos came, you hear they died, they died, they died, they died, they died. Moses is trying to tell you something. Then he gets to a man called Enoch. Enoch is one man that serves God in his generation. I want to start off by saying, it doesn't matter where you are, what your location is. Serving God is an end in itself. And it really doesn't matter if people in this world don't serve God with you. Serving God pays. Because we are going to see people over the weeks as we go on. People like Lot. People like Abraham in their generations. People like Noah in their generation. Where there was wickedness in the generation. And you will see men serving God. So look at what it says about Enoch. Right? Look at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years. And he begat Methuselah. Please follow me closely here. Verse 22. Verse 22 tells us about Enoch. Moses is dropping a gem here. Remember before now, he was saying everybody died, died, died. They lived, they gave birth, they died. They lived, they gave birth, they died. But he gets to Enoch. Verse 22. And Enoch walked with God. That's the testimony. That's the CV. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters. Right? Look at verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Pause. Enoch is the different man in chapter 5. Everybody died. The Bible says Enoch was taken by God. Please let me not burst your bubble, but let me say this. Nobody can leave this earth without dropping his physical body. So did Enoch die the way people die? Yes. I'll explain it. Don't put up your TV yet. I'll explain it. Did Enoch die the way people die, meaning their bodies? Yes. What just happened is two things. Number one, and I'll show you from scriptures. The Bible, Moses the writer, is helping you understand two, three things I'll show you from scriptures. Number one, Enoch in his generation served God. Number two, Enoch in his generation was a preacher of the gospel. Number three, Enoch in his generation believed the gospel. How does Moses differentiate Enoch from other people? He says, Enoch walked with God and God took him. Two things have happened there. It means in the time of Enoch, nobody knew. Don't say, oh, Pastor, nobody knew the burial place of Enoch. God took him, right? And God buried him. The same way it happened for Moses. You can check that in the book of, I think, Deuteronomy 34. The Bible says they don't know where Moses was buried. The Lord buried Moses. So when it says the Lord took him, yes, the Lord took him, but his physical body stayed on this earth like every human being. Let me show you from scriptures where the Bible said that Enoch died. But the point there is, in his generation, the differentiating factor between Enoch and others was the fact that Enoch served God. In his generation, he walked with God. Just like you, where you are, this message is to encourage you where you are. That thing that you do, that studying the Word of God, that reading the Bible, that living for Jesus, that walking in love, it is seen by the Lord. It is known by the Lord. It is recorded by the Lord. It is a fact, right? The Bible helps us see that Enoch walked with God. The Bible says it was not for God took him. Let's look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith, talking about those who believe the gospel. That's why it starts with faith. Verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith in who? Faith in a coming Jesus. If you look at chapter 10, it will tell you. Look at chapter 10. Look at verse 10. It says, by the which will, we are made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. It now tells us that Jesus Christ, in verse 12, after he has sacrificed himself for sins, right, sat down at the right hand of God, he kept talking about Jesus. Then he now says, verse 11, now faith will be you believing in a Jesus that is to come. That would have been faith for all the guys in the Old Testament. And we're going to see their names now. Abel, Enoch, all of them. Who were they? They were people that believed in a Messiah to come. What about others? They did not believe, so they perished. That's why the way it was written, it will say, and Jared died. And this one died until he gets to Enoch. He tells us Enoch walked with God. Follow me now. Don't believe me yet. It says in Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's Jesus. The evidence of things not seen. So they believed a Jesus that was coming. Amen. He now starts to tell us the fathers of the faith. He starts with number one, Abel. He says Abel offered. Abel worshipped God with an excellent sacrifice. He's telling you that Abel believed the gospel. Abel believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. That God is the same throughout generations. You believe on him, you become right. Just like you and I today, we believe on Jesus, we become righteous. Abel too believed on Jesus. It is called worship. It is called offering, a sacrifice. Believing on Jesus. His brother Cain did not believe. Right? Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. Because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So the issue with Enoch was that he was not found. It's not that Enoch just disappeared from the earth. Everybody, I hope you believe that everybody on the earth, for you to leave this earth, you must drop your body. Right? It happened for Enoch, but Enoch was not found because God particularly hid where Enoch was. Hid where Enoch was buried. He did the same thing to Moses. But let me show you from scriptures here that it tells us that Enoch died. So if you look at verse 5, it tells you by faith Enoch, right? Look at verse 7, it tells you by faith Noah. Who are all these people? The people who believed in their generation. Look at verse 8, by faith Abraham. Abraham is one person that believed that well. Look at verse 11. Through faith, Sarah. So Sarah believed on a coming Messiah. You will notice that. Another thing you need to notice. These guys in their generation were not perfect people. At some point, Sarah laughed and didn't believe. The Bible does not write in the New Testament. The Bible writes about the time that she believed. Amen. That's how it is. Blinded to fault, celebrating when a man believes. Abraham was a man that said to his wife, tell them, he lied. Tell them that you are my brother. Right? He did something that wasn't good. But yeah, you see what? He believed. He gets into the books. Noah, a good man. He believed the gospel. He was God's man. He was a preacher in his generation. But he was a man that got drunk. And even cursed his children. Right? We are not to copy Noah. Cursing his children. For that would be wrong. But we are to copy Noah in how he believed God. In his own generation. Praise the Lord. So all my point is, all these people believed. Now look at it. It says in verse 11, By faith, Sarah too believed. Look at verse 13. So the book of Hebrews has been telling us about the people that believed. He now gets to verse 13 and tells us, These all died in faith. So did Enoch die as well? Yes, Enoch died. Enoch dropped his body. But God honored Enoch in the way it is written, in that his body was not found. The Bible says God took him. They did not write he died, because they wanted to celebrate the fact that he believed the gospel. Pastor Daya, how do you know that Enoch was a preacher? By faith, Enoch. How do you know that Enoch believed the gospel? He's there. By faith, Enoch walked with God. He's there in the spirit. Pastor Daya, how do you know that Enoch was a preacher of the gospel? Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1. Maybe. Are you in the book of Jude? Alright. We're looking at the book of Jude now. And then I would be reading from... Where is it now? It's there. Okay. I know it's here somewhere anyway. 14. And Enoch... Also, the seventh man from Adam prophesied of these things. So who was Enoch? A prophet. Who is a prophet of the Old Testament? A preacher of Christ. So Enoch in his generation believed. Enoch in his generation preached. Enoch in his generation preached about false prophets, about the works of the devil, and about the oppression of the devil. And he preached about the return of Christ. But a lot of people in his generation, what, did not believe. Enoch is that man that preached the gospel. My point is, you are that man in your generation that preaches the gospel. You are holy. You are set apart unto God to use your words to preach the gospel. Now that you have believed on the gospel, in your generation you would arise and preach the gospel, because you are like that man. You are that man, Enoch. Enoch, that man that preached the gospel in his generation. That man that God will use. Who is God looking for? God is not looking for gifted men. God is looking for available men. Men that will yield themselves and say, I am ready and I'm available. I'm available to do your will. I'm available to preach the gospel. I'm available to pray. I'm available to stand for you in my generation. For God is looking for co-laborers like Enoch. Like Enoch, to stand in his generation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody might be saying, Pastor Dio, well, I have seen so clearly that Enoch actually died. What about Elijah? Did Elijah not go away? Did he not take off? Did Elijah not take off as well? Elijah did not go to heaven that way. Elijah too, as a human being, died on the earth. Someone say, Pastor Dio, tell me more. Look at the book of 2 Kings. In the book of 2 Kings, God tells us, or we see the story, where which Elijah is saying to his boy, his mentee, his protege, he's saying to him that, you know what? Okay, the Lord is going to be taking me away. Right? You know? And this is in the book of 2 Kings chapter 2. So let me explain it, then I'll show you from scriptures. So the idea is, the Spirit of the Lord can take hold of a person, take him from one location and take him to another location. If it happened in the Old Testament, it happened in the New Testament. If you look at the book of Acts, this happened to Philip when he met the Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible says when he was baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch, the Spirit carried him away from where he was. And the next time they will find Philip, Philip was in Azotus, Ashdod. It's a place in Palestine today. So what happened? The Spirit carried him and translocated him to another area, right? It's the same thing, right? So what happened here was, the Spirit was going to take up Elijah. He was going to take him to another location. In fact, if you read the scriptures well, right, after he was taken up, the other prophets asked Elisha, should we go around and look around the mountains? If the Spirit has taken your father and dropped him on the mountains, the guy said, don't go. But they went, but they didn't find him. That already tells us that they were used to the fact that the Spirit can take hold of a man and translocate him somewhere else for his divine purpose. Let me now show you from scriptures that at this point, Elijah did not die. What Elijah did was, Elijah handed over the baton of actually the prophetic office to his son Elisha. So now what happens is, in the days of Elijah, so Elijah is taken over, he's taken up, he disappears from the scene. After this time, there was a king in Israel called Jehoshaphat. As at the time Jehoshaphat was king, towards the end of Jehoshaphat's reign, Elijah is taken off. And Elisha is king, he is the prophet. Are you noticing? So Elijah has gone from the scene. Elisha is the prophet with Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat now dies. And then his son becomes king. The name of his son is Jehoram. Jehoram was a terrible guy. Jehoram was such a terrible guy that Jehoram, after his father, Jehoshaphat, dies, Jehoram kills all his brothers and all his sisters, so that at no point in time will anybody ever become king. God saw this and saw that he was wrong. Guess what happened? Jehoram received a letter from the man of God, Elijah. Question: Has Elijah not been taken up already at this point? How can he be receiving? How can Jehoram? By the time Jehoram was born, Elijah was not even on the scene. Elijah was the reigning prophet. So how can Jehoram receive a letter from Elijah? Let me show you from scriptures. What does that tell you? When it says in 2 Kings that Elijah went off, Elijah didn't go to heaven like he went to heaven where God is and did not come back. No, he was taken up by the Spirit and translocated to another place, but he hands over the baton for the work of God in the land of Israel. Are you getting the point? I am just saying all of that to prove that nobody dies on this. Nobody can leave this earth without dying. That's the point. Amen. Look at the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Amen. Say, Pastor Dyer, what is all of this? I'm just trying to show you something. That all of this is to try to help you understand that how God honored Enoch by differentiating him, by saying, he walked with me. He was translated, right? That word, he died, was not used. Because in walking with God, you have life. It's the same thing for me and you today. When we got born again, what happened to us? Quickly go to Colossians 1:13. I know. You have been translated. Are you getting it down? From the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. It's the same thing that Paul tells Timothy. God through the gospel, 2 Timothy 1:7 to 9. God through the gospel has brought light, life, and immortality by the gospel. It's the same thing. We are being translated. Enoch was translated. What did Enoch do? He believed the gospel. So, would Enoch's physical body have dropped on this earth? Yes, Enoch's body dropped on this earth. Just like Moses' body dropped on this earth. In fact, the Bible says angels and the devil were fighting over Moses' body in the book of Jude. Nobody saw it, but they died. Look at the book of 2 Chronicles 21. Let's get there so we get out of here. Quickly, we get out of this particular thing. Because I've not even gotten so much into what I wanted to say. Remember I told you, Jehoshaphat, in the reign of Jehoshaphat, right, Elijah had already gone. Elisha was the one reigning. Look at it now. Look at verse 21, 2 Chronicles 21 verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers, and he was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat. He puts all the names there. Look at verse 3. And their father gave them great gifts and silver and gold and all of that, but he gave the kingdom to Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. Look at verse 4. And when Jehoram was risen to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and killed his brethren with the sword. Look at verse 5. Jehoram was 32 when he began to reign, and he reigned for 8 years. Right? Okay. Look at verse 6. He walked in the way of the king of Israel, like as Ahab. Right? He did evil in the sight of the Lord. Right? Albeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant he had with David. Right, okay, he now keeps telling us all the evil things that the man Jehoram did. Look at verse 12. And there came a writing to him. So Elijah that they told us had gone since, Elijah the prophet writes to Jehoram and tells Jehoram, why is it that you have not walked in the way of the Lord? Why have you killed your brothers? Why have you done this? Why have you done that? You see that now? Elijah was around. I just used the scriptures. This is our time to prove to you that Elijah was around. Meaning that people don't die. People don't leave this earth without dying. You drop because the earth, the body, is from dust. It must return to dust. But that's why the only people that have life are those that have more than dust. And how can you have more than dust? By believing the gospel, meaning by having eternal life. When you have eternal life, you have more than dust. So when the earth takes back what it owns, remember the Bible says, from dust you came, from dust you will go. So every flesh will go back to dust. But a time will come, but even when the flesh goes back to dust, the one that has received life, he only drops the body. He has life. He can never die. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if a man does not believe the gospel, what happens to him? When he drops the that's it, it's finished. Eternal destruction. That's why we preach the gospel. Because of the love of God in our hearts. We don't want men to be destroyed. You see that beautiful thing about Enoch right there? Amen. You and I, we are like Enoch. We believe the gospel in our generation. Let me quickly look, very quickly, at another man in his generation that stood for Jesus. All right? That stood for God in his generation. Look at verse 29 of the book of Genesis chapter 5. And he says, Lamech gave birth to a child, and he called his name Noah, saying, the Lord shall comfort us concerning our work, legalism, our effort to please God by our works, right? Because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. You see, this man was saying, he prophesied really. Noah will come and bring comfort. Because of the state of our hearts. Our heart has a lot of things. Noah will come and bring comfort. How will Noah do this? Remember, I told you that they gave people names either by experience. Right? Just like, for example, if you want to marry a girl, she makes you suffer. You can now call, when you now marry her, you just look at the child and say, she suffered me. And that's the name of the child. She suffered me. Why? Because that's your experience. You get it? So that's the way they name their children. Or they name their children by prophecy. Meaning what they, by the spirit or what by God they believe that child will do. So who will Noah be? Let me explain it to you and we go for that if we can. Noah is that man that comes to bring comfort. How will Noah bring comfort? Noah will be another man who will stand for God in his generation. And we are going to see quickly. Because in a generation, he will start preaching the word of God. What is the word of God? The word of God is the medicine for thorns. The word of God is the medicine for thistles. What do we say thorns and thistles were that has caused the ground, the heart of man? Cares, anxieties, worries. So Noah will come. He will be a preacher. He will preach the gospel, and those that believe on him, the thorns, the anxieties, the cares, the deceitfulness of riches in their heart, in their ground, will fade away. Amen. All of Pastor Daya, where is all of this? Is in the scripture. You can see one very clear principle. All of this, the Bible calls them mysteries. Right? Colossians 1, 27, 26 and 27. The Bible says these are mysteries. But the Bible even tells us that these mysteries are explained. Colossians 1, 27. The mysteries are explained. The mysteries about Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Praise God. Okay, let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 6. So what is happening in Genesis chapter 6? Let me give you a timeline. By this time, there has been 1,000 years. After the creation of the world, men were living for as long as 900 years, and men were doing evil. Imagine a man without laws. So, for example, if you offend me, I could kill you. That was the day. There was no law, no government, no institution that would say, why did you kill him? You killed him because you wanted to kill him. And so the heart of man grew wicked very fast. There was no government. There was nobody holding anybody to account. So people were living for 900 years. The earth became a very terrible, evil, dangerous, violent field war. It was a bad place to be. There was anarchy. No law, no order. So people were living for as long as 900 years doing all manner of evil works. Okay, look at that now. Okay. Right? And see what happened. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Right? So multiplication was happening. People were dying not too quickly, and multiplication was happening. Amen? He says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them as wives. Right? And he took them as wives. So this whole episode is talking about how fallen angels come into the world, and they pervert the lineage of humanity. The Bible tells us that they pervert the lineage of humanity, and that's where giants were born from. So giants are not a norm in the bloodline. God did not create giants. But fallen angels come into the world, sleep with our beautiful women, and pervert the lineage, and start to bring forth human beings that are perverted. Why? What was the essence of this? The devil wanted to pervert the bloodstream to ensure that, Christ, and remember, Remember the prophecy we started off from? He will bruise the heel. They wanted to pervert that bloodstream, right? But what happens? There was a man. One man. He believed the gospel. He didn't partake in all of this nonsense. And through him, God established his lineage. Let's continue here. Okay, he says, when God saw the evil on the earth, men had yielded to evil at such an astronomical level. Look at what the Bible says here. The Bible says, verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit will no longer strive with men, for that he is also flesh. His day shall be 120. Right? You know, interestingly, from this time that he spoke until the time that Enoch built the ark was 120 years anyway. But he says it's going to be 120 years. So from now, we start to see a staggering reduction, generally, in the lifespan of men as well. Okay? He now says, for there were giants in the earth on those days. Who are these giants? Men who did not believe. Men from a foreign mixture, perverted mixture, who did not believe on the Lord Jesus, did not believe the gospel. Alright, he says, and they took, you know, he says the giants were on the earth in those days, and the sons of God came into the daughters, they bare them children, they became mighty men. Look at verse 5, and God saw the wickedness that was on the earth, and every imagination of the thought of man was only wicked. All man wanted to do was eat wicked. And it repented God, right? And he was grieved in his heart. Look at it now. He says, and I will destroy man, for I have created from the face of the earth man, beast, creeping things, and fowls, and air. Who was going to be destroyed? The men on the earth were going to be destroyed. Two reasons. Man was in evil, and man had a perverted bloodstream. Then what does God do? So destruction was coming. Destruction was coming. What does God do? That's where the story of the ark comes. What does God actually say? God says, build an ark and get everybody in. Are you hearing the story? The story is not about a vengeance of God. The story is about a salvation of God. What is coming? Just like what is coming in your world today. There is a hell. There is a destruction. It is coming. Right? What do? We pray the gospel. Who does God want to be saved? Everybody. What does God do? God uses, Moses uses symbols to explain this. Somebody say, Pastor Dyer, wait. Are you saying there was no Noah's Ark? There was a Noah's Ark, but it was symbolic of the people of God. So this is the story. Destruction is coming. There is an ark. Anybody that believes on God, enter the ark. What happens? Men choose not to enter. Who enters? Noah and his family are saved in that generation. So Noah and his family are believers in the gospel. The other people in his generation do not believe the gospel. What do we see is told us? An ark. Enter the ark. When you enter, you build the ark, you enter the ark is closed, and then the flood comes, destruction comes. It's the same thing you are doing today. You're telling men, there is life, destruction is coming. Self-destruction is a reality. Receive life. People might say, no, I don't want that, I don't want God, I can't be bothered with God. A time will come, time will end, death will catch up with men, or the Holy Ghost will erupt from the inside, which Pentecostals call rapture. At that point, if you do not have life, you are destroyed. Are you getting the point? So let us read the story here. Look at what the Bible says in verse 8. Look at Genesis 6 verse 8. But Noah found grace. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. What does it mean? Does it mean that God specially liked Noah? No. It means the same way everybody was preached to. Noah was preached to as well. But and Noah believed the gospel. Noah believed the gospel to the point that he became a preacher of the gospel. Write this down. The intent of God is that you start off by believing the gospel and you continue by preaching the gospel. So Noah did that in a generation. So what you are told of as the building of the ark, it is symbolic. Did he build ark? Yes, he built ark. But it is also a symbol that he preached the gospel. So what was he doing in that day? He was, okay, if to help you, he was building the ark and he was preaching the gospel. The preaching the gospel was symbolic of building the ark. Pastor, you are confusing me. Did he build ark or did he not build ark? He built ark. Oh, did he preach or did he not preach? He preached. Amen. The point is, okay, Pastor Daya, how did you know that Noah preached the gospel? 2 Peter 2, verse 5, so we can close tonight. All I'm saying to you, serving God rightly, serving God rightly will be that you, in your generation, you hear the word of God, you believe the word of God, then after believing the word of God, you do all that it takes to take that word out. Serving God rightly will be also you preaching that word that men will have life. 2 Peter 2 verse 5, and we go tonight. I want to show you from scriptures very quickly that the man of God, Peter, was Noah was a preacher of the gospel. I am there if you are. 2 Peter 2 verse 5. It says, and spared not the old world, but saved. What is the activity of God in the midst of people? Salvation. Who did he save? He saved Noah. Noah, the eighth man in his generation. Meaning that, you know the way he begat. He saved Noah. Right? Who is Noah? Look at it for yourself. The Bible in the New Testament does not talk about the Noah building ark. Though he built ark, but the building of ark was symbolic to talk about the preaching of the gospel. What does the Bible call Noah in the New Testament? It calls him a preacher of righteousness. So what actually happened? Noah in his generation, a very wicked and evil generation, heard the gospel. He believed the gospel. The type and shadow of it is that he built an ark and he tells people to enter. It is the same thing today. Jesus is the ark that we enter, that we believe. When we enter that ark, the flood of sin and death, the flood of lifelessness cannot touch us. Nothing in the world out there, destruction, sin, and death can touch that man that is in the ark. That is the point. So what was Noah doing? Noah was preaching the gospel in his generation. Let me encourage that man of God that might be listening to me tonight. Noah was a man that preached the gospel. He preached the gospel for 120 years, and the only people that God saved were his family members. You will have thought that Noah was a failed man in his ministry. No, a great man of God who in his generation, he entered into the Bible. The only one that entered into the Bible. What's my point for you, oh dear man of God, oh brother, oh sister? In that we preach the word of God, we have done enough. In that we do anything to push the word of God, we have done enough. For Noah in his generation, for 120 years, will preach to a hardened people. He would tell them about the goodness of God. He would tell them about a flood that is coming. He would tell them about a life that is real. But these people will not embrace the life, will not embrace the truth. It doesn't mean that Noah is a failure. It only means that the hearts of these people were against what was happening. Noah was a success in his generation, and so are you. In that you stick with the message of Jesus, in that you do not water it down, in that you do not lie or manipulate, in that you just tell people about life, about his love, about his righteousness, about his grace. You are Noah in your generation today. You are Enoch in your generation today. That man in scriptures that stood for Jesus, that stood for the word, that stood for the gospel, that did not let the gospel stop with him, but preached the gospel in his generation. Till we come your way again next week. Where do we get all of this from? It's from Genesis, the gospel in Genesis. I hope you have been blessed. I hope you have been edified. I hope your perspective on this book is changing slowly. That it's about Jesus. It's about salvation. It's about the Savior and the one that he saved. Still will come your way again next time. My name is Adedaya Babalola, and God bless you richly. Amen. Bye-bye for now.